Our high school guidance counselor used to ask us what you would do if you had $1 million, didn't have to work. And then invariably, whatever you'd say, that was supposed to be your career. So if you wanted to fix old cars, then you're supposed to be an auto mechanic.
So what did you say?
I never had an answer. I guess that's why I'm working at Inatech.
No, you're working at Inatech because that question is bullshit to begin with. If everyone listened to her, there'd be no janitors because no one would clean up if they had $1 million.
If I had $1 million. If I had $1 million.
I'm talking about millions of dollars.
What would you do if you had $1 million?
I'll tell you what I'd do, man. Two chicks at the same time, man.
We're living in a material world and I am a material girl. Or boy.
Well, what about you now? What would you do?
Besides two chicks at the same time?
Well, yeah.
Nothing.
Nothing, huh?
I would relax. I would sit on my ass all day. I would do nothing.
Well, you don't need $1 million to do nothing, man. Take a look at my cousin. He's broke, don't do
If I had $1 million, if I had
Well, North Bay Extraction Giants, I'm Tom Howley, Mr. Matt Weber on the board. We also have Mr. Brendan Cronin with us. We also have our system back up, Matty, for God's sake.
It makes a big difference, doesn't
it? Yes, it really does help, even though we did pretty good yesterday without it, you know.
We survived.
We survived. You know, when you have these firewall systems that all of a sudden get a surge and you wait for your provider to fix the thing and they call it about noon and they say it's your problem, not ours. you got an issue anyway. But thankfully, we had the brokerage firm never missed a bleep because we had our separate line, our backup line. We were able to hook into everybody's computer, but we were a little scrambled during the show, but not today. Brendan, how are you?
I'm doing well, Chief. How's it going?
It's going fine. I'm just looking at the world, and I'm just saying I'm living the dream like everybody else, you know?
You know, I have no doubt that you're just living the dream.
Yeah.
You've got everything under control, and really proud of you for that.
Well, you know what? To a certain extent, we do. I mean, in terms of the markets and our clients and everything, I don't think we've had better months in a long time. I mean, finally, I was. What do you think I was? 2 years early on the gold, something like that. It pays to be early, eh? You know. It's like, but in the last,
you're just way ahead of the game.
Just a little ahead of the game, yeah. I mean, it's sometimes things are somewhat obvious, but sometimes they become a little more obvious. Maybe to you or me before they become obvious to the rest of the world, but anyway, I listen all day long, Brendan. I don't know how you feel about this because you're just as young as me, right?
Yes.
I am stunned by the economic world, the economic geniuses that are absolutely convinced they know exactly what's going to happen here because they've seen this all before. And yet, I have never seen anything like this before. I've never even read anything like this before. Have you?
I don't think this has ever been written or said before. Now what we're going through right now, you know, wasn't it Donald Rumsfeld who said, we don't know what we don't know?
Yeah.
We're kind of in that mode right now, I think, that we don't know what we don't know, what's coming around the corner next.
Well, this could be the one thing that you and Maddie have been trying to do for your whole life, and that's invent a new fetish. We invented another economic problem by shutting it down ourselves. I mean, you know, how can anybody estimate? The thing that I never thought we would go through again. Well, actually, we sort of did in 2008, but not as bad. I never thought we'd go through like a resolution trust again.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see how we don't have, if we're talking 30% of restaurants going under, and we're talking about all these buildings that are under construction and everything. And I sure hope I'm wrong on this, Brendan, but how do we not have massive foreclosures? Or are we going to have the president broker a deal for Microsoft to buy, like, every building in Chicago because he likes them? Now he wants a piece of the transaction?
So long as he gets a cut.
Yeah. This stuff is... If you were to tell this to a college class, they would look at you and say, what are you talking about? How could any of that... Mm-hmm. I mean... So we're going to shut this outfit down. We all of a sudden don't like China, even though not all of a sudden, but we don't like them. And now we're going to start screwing some of their businesses. Okay, now everybody knows who's listening forever. I have no love for how the Chinese do business, but I also know that it is, and I very seldom say this, Brendan. When the Chinese do business through our people, it's not just those guys that are crooks. Our people are right with them. It's not like we're not involved in this.
I agree with that. I've said that for a long time. You know, the idea of American companies going over to China is not a new thing, and it's not due to Chinese stealth trying to take us over there. A lot of it is because of corporate greed, trying to look for lower costs for their goods being made and moving over there. Now, what the Chinese do as far as getting companies in and stealing secrets and intellectual property is a whole other discussion. But, our business culture over here is a little bit complicit in this.
Well, there's always an experience, Brendan. It seems like there's always something. I used to belong to the Economic Club of Chicago. Who knows, maybe we'll again someday, but I bet they haven't any meeting in like a year now. But I went to one of their functions, and I was in there, and it's one of these, you know, it's one thing I'll say about these meetings is they are absolutely on time. They must know everybody has a train. When they say you're done with dinner and a speech at 9:30, I mean at 9:29:59, they cut the guy off. they're serious about it. And
we need more of that.
Yeah, so when you go in, it'll say cocktails, you know, 5:30 to 6:30 dinner, and they mean it's 6:29. You know, the hammer comes down on the bars and the lights go out and flashing. So, I go in and I'm standing there and I was talking to this lady who was trying to be introduced to somebody from China. They wanted to move one of their plants over to China. And this is, this is a long time ago. So I said, I'll tell you what, I just met the meeting before, believe it or not, somebody from the Chinese consulate. And so I still had her card. I never called her or anything, but so I said, here, I'll give her a buzz, and I said, I'll try and put the two of you together. And it turns out that when you went to go over there, say the three of us had a pot factory or something, they would say, what kind of work is it, where, you know, blah, blah, blah. And the embassy would, like, steer you to a, for lack of a better term, a political flunky in an area where they thought would match you. Now, this guy would carry you through the whole thing, and I'm sure he got paid. But they essentially would take you through to the place where they thought, was the spot for you and introduce you to local people. And essentially, you paid people, you were helped by people, it's much easier to say, along the line that made sure, the labor is going to be this and that. And the whole thing was set up for you, and it was almost like dealing with the mob, where the factory, and the people in the factory aren't about to revolt against whatever the price is. So by the time you're done, you're up to your eyeballs in this mess, or whatever it is. I mean, to say that you're not part of it. I mean, to say that, these bleephole China people have, use slave labor or child labor. Yeah, and what? An Apple plant? Or mm-hmm. a Nike plant? It's not like they're in the rice plant, and the stuff we get, that comes from there that's totally Chinese is the only thing where these places work. So this idea, so the story with this, TikTok, maybe Maddie can tell us what it even is, but they decide that there's no good in there, so they're going to ban it. Trump's just going to ban it, right? So then he says, wait a minute, because it's owned by a Chinese firm, and a Chinese firm, if they sell it to Microsoft, then they won't ban it, because now Microsoft will take over. We trust Microsoft to be the regulator of the thing?
What's wrong with that?
Yeah, what's wrong with that? Some of the stuff that's being...
Just think about the hearings last week when Congress had, was it Facebook, Apple, who else was on there? Microsoft,
Google,
Amazon.
Google.
They had the owners of them before the Congress by Zoom conference just blasting about their monopoly. So why is that okay and TikTok is not?
Well, because the Chinese can handle the content over there. But it's amazing the Greek tragedy. What was the term? Hubris?
Hubris, yes.
The hubris of
pride goes before the fall.
I thought it was when a man thought he became equal to a god.
Yeah, his pride. Pride got so good that he thought he was the equal or better than the gods, and the gods always had the last word.
Yes.
If I remember correctly, one of the primary stories of that was Sisyphus, who was taught a lesson by rolling his rock up the hill.
Yeah, it was a tough one. It rolled. You ever heard of that story, Matty, where he had to roll the rack up the hill, and as soon as he got to the top, it would roll down, and he had to start all over again?
Oh, yeah.
And, just before he gets to the top, he rolls back down the hill every time.
Sometimes it's like trading. anyway, there was some, I didn't read it, but evidently there was some vivid Wall Street Journal article about Facebook and what they were doing and something. And what's his name? Who's the head of Facebook? It's tells his name. Mark Zuckerberg. He gets out there and says, "Oh, don't worry, we're investigating that." I mean, he absolutely has gotten to the point now where his internal people should be the regulators. That they should be the judge and jury on whether something should be able to go forward or not. And if there's a problem, they'll investigate. How does somebody ever think that is anywhere near the way things ought to be? Well, you have to be such a. I mean, these guys have egos. I mean, a lot of people have egos, but I mean, what kind of an ego do you have to have to say, "Oh, you think we're guilty? We'll look at it and see if we are or not."
Okay. Well, that happens all the time. I mean, just think about it, which was a topic I wanted to do, since we've talked a lot about the coronavirus in the last few weeks. But we haven't spoken a lot about what's going on here in Illinois with ComEd. And speaking about internal investigations, where all these things are going to go before the Illinois House for investigation.
Yeah, well, I promise to be brief, but you heard my Commonwealth Edison story, didn't you? One day I was ranting one about Commonwealth Edison and how they're so tight with the state, and it reaches the point that Eric brought out the one day years ago when we were on the show, and he said, "It's no longer about owners." And, Rockefeller and those kind of guys, it's about this management class.
Mm-hmm.
There really is no difference, in my mind, between Commonwealth Edison and say, Notre Dame. I mean, Notre Dame doesn't have any shareholders, although I'm sure they kick some money to the order of the priests, but, you know, it's not like they have shareholders, but the people in the mix, the bureaucracy, eats up the money. To the point where at Commonwealth Edison right now, they pay their dividend, so people have the stock, they're still happy. But it's not like if they cut some deal with Illinois, it's even more, you know, absurd than the one before. Most of that money is going to get sprinkled to the executives, not make its way right to. So I don't even know what you want to call it. It's not anywhere near capitalism like you and I would describe. That's why when people say, you know, we don't want people that are communists or socialists, I don't either. But and then you can really shut them up, Brennan, easy. They say, "Define what we have now. You explain this to me. Is this really
capitalism?" That's right.
Define what this is. This mess we have. It's clearly not capitalism. It's I don't know what it is. It's some combination of fascism and crony capitalism or something. But so I'm doing this huge rant about how we had a client come in, and one day, of course, you can imagine that, Brennan. We talking about his account and everything, but then we immediately get off topic when he tells me what he does for a living. He's a nuclear energy expert that ends up, he's retired, and he worked for, what do they call the citizens people that are always against United Commonwealth?
United Board?
But then, yeah, but they come and go. There was names before that. There was somebody. Anyway, he'd be consultants to those people. And he says, it's just, you go down to the ICC, right? Interstate Commerce Commission? Or the Illinois Commerce Commission. He says, you get out to the office, and there's always, he says, there's a person or two from Commonwealth Edison sitting there, or People's Gas or North Shore Gas or somebody. And he goes, you walk in and they look at you like, what are you doing here? He says, you could win a fight. You'd win one and all of a sudden you take it to the place and now this is all on your dime, right, or donations. And he goes, and you might actually win a fight rate increase gets shut down. He says, well, you go to the bar, you're hoisting your first beer, and instantly, they're already filing a new one that night. And all the costs that they spent for lobbying and for law firms and all that stuff is now an expense to them that they can put on there, and now they can raise. That's another reason to raise the rates, because look, their expenses went up for fighting you.
Mm-hmm.
So they're just in there. So, of course, my buddy Greg, he was, he wanted to seize these guys one night, so he drags me with him. He had to buy two tickets to this, it was pretty much a Republican deal out in Burr Ridge or someplace. And, so we go into this place, and of course it's about as white as it gets, right? There's one Hispanic guy in there, of course he's talking to me. But there's the cocktail party was like $250 a throw, so it cost Greg like $500 for that. Well, the dinner is another $500 a throw. Well, he doesn't want to come up with another G. Well, I don't blame him. And so the guy who's the big shot, I think he retired. He was the number one Republican, and he gives me his card. This card had nothing to do with state senate. It had to do with his law firm, right?
Mm-hmm.
Imagine that. So all of a sudden, I'm sitting there, and this lady walks up, and she's very attractive. Very, very well dressed, and she orders a glass. Not that I noticed. Well, I mean, she's basically getting a glass of wine over my shoulder, so I couldn't very well not notice. So I go, by the way, what do you do for a living? Well, because now everybody's heading into dinner. And she says, well, are you coming into dinner? Of course, I had to make some BS up about, because we didn't have a ticket. And I said, no, we have another one of these to go to. how was that? On my feet. That was pretty good.
Pretty good.
And she goes, I said, what do you do? She goes, well, I'm a lobbyist for Commonwealth Edison. I was having a drink of wine. I almost spit it out after what I was ranting all morning about. And she was going to the dinner. I mean, they're all over the place. And they're very professional. They're very well dressed. I mean, I don't think they have anybody there who looks like us, Brendan. It's remarkable how much, I mean, people forget. Remember the Public Utility Holding Company Act was passed in the Depression just to stop Commonwealth Edison. It's not like these guys haven't been nefarious for years, right?
Well, I find it interesting when you're telling that story about the lobbyists at that dinner and, you know, the hearing before the ICC. That's part of what's going on right now with the disclosures about ComEd and the connections with Mike Madigan. One of the guys implicated in the filing by the U.S. attorney is Mike Zalewski, who is the former alderman here in Chicago. The head of the ICC who's doing this investigation into ComEd is his daughter-in-law. Did you know that?
I did not know that.
She's the head of the ICC right now. She's leading the House investigation into what's going on with ComEd. Just last week, there were hearings. So this guy's daughter-in-law is, and get this, she was appointed as the ICC upon the recommendation of the former alderman, who was one of the right-hand guys for Mike Madigan and all of this. And one of the five board members of the ICC the other day had the audacity to say, why don't you think of recusing yourself because of all the stuff that's going on? And she and one of the other board members said, who do you think you are? Why do you think that we're here? We're totally objective in all of this. There's nothing wrong with this. Why would you even hint there's something wrong?
That's something, do you think anybody under the age of 40 even knows what the word recuse means?
Kim Fox.
Maybe, yeah, Kim Fox. there you go. I mentioned this before, Brendan, when I was a chairman of committees, the SIBO, the rule was, this is in the 80s, if the vote or the subject had anything to do with you or your pit, you were in the hall.
Mm-hmm.
And matter of fact, I was chairman of the, well, I don't know what I forget the name of it, but it was basically the DPM committee. Alternative Trading System. ATS committee, I think it was. Alternative Trading System. And an MTS, Modified Trading System. So Dr. J was the first DPM that was on there. And Dr. J is my buddy. He spent the whole year in a hall, pretty much. I said, no. But the next year, of course, guys would say, I'm not leaving. I'm here to vote our best interest. That's why my boss got me on this committee. Mm-hmm. It became very corporate. It wasn't the person. I mean, a whole different world that if Brendan Cornan's on there and you're an independent market maker, and if something is right, you vote yourself, or you vote, what you think is right. If all of a sudden you're, Matty Weber's flunky, you can't even make a vote without calling upstairs. Mm-hmm. Much, much more difficult to be a chairman when you've got guys like that in the room than when people are just able to make their own decision. Matter of fact, go ahead.
The other story about Illinois politics, you remember Alderman Burke from the Southwest.
Oh, got you.
Chairman of the Finance Committee.
He was most powerful and ran all the judges, and still does, probably.
Well, when he was in charge of the Finance Committee, finance matters would come up before him all the time, including bond deals, including contracts, and right before the vote, he would make a procedural motion to the record, to the clerk who's keeping track of the record, that he's not going to vote or vote present in this, because he has a conflict, but he doesn't step out of the meeting. He continues to lead the meeting during the whole time and is in the room when the vote is taking place.
Yeah, if you're going to recuse yourself, you should be out from day one.
Yeah. You know, the other joke that we used to have was the difference when you were trying to recuse yourself was really a form of rescue. You just reworked the words a little, a couple of letters a little bit to rescue yourself to avoid a conflict of interest. But I don't think certainly politicians these days don't know what recuse means.
Well, who was the judge that got all the campaign money from State Farm? This is going back a ways. And just by the luck of the draw, he ends up with this huge State Farm case. And they said, he goes, well, shouldn't you recuse yourself? And he's like, why? I mean, I'm like, that's why they paid me.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, but pretty much. Brandon, just real quickly, and how are we going to, I mean, it seems like yesterday with the markets going way up, and of course Apple now is $2 trillion. It went from what, $1 trillion to $2 trillion in a year?
Mm-hmm.
Where does this all end with money pouring in? Certain stocks seeming to have every advantage in the world. Few companies. I mean, what if the market? I keep thinking the market is not all that right these days, in the sense that the Fed's driving it. But what if the market is right, that we are going to see more of this, like Microsoft, where we just want these big players, who these guys foolishly think they can control, to get bigger and bigger and bigger. I mean, I think if you went back for 20 years. Microsoft is probably one of the most dirtiest monopolists I've ever seen.
Uh-huh.
In the sense of, you know, you can't have, if you're going to get a machine, you've already got Office on there, you know, or something. They string all kinds of things together with that operating system that they should not be able to do under anybody's definition of antitrust. Yet they've gotten away with it forever. And now all of a sudden they're the savior? I mean, they can't be the villain and the savior at the same time. Or can you be?
It's hard to believe you can be, but I don't know where we're headed.
Well, I mean, we have a bunch of buffoons who are, when I consider they're not, I'm sure they're not dumb people. They're in the Senate and so forth. If you're gonna grill Bezos or one of these guys, you can't do it in a format where you get 5 minutes of FaceTime, and that's what you're worried about. You better have somebody grill them, and if they dodge a question, it's not like your time is up. You got to have somebody to say, no, answer the friggin' question, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that, I've never once seen one of these TV things basically worth a crap, have you?
No, and you know, the same thing is true not only for congressional hearings, but when you're looking at the Sunday news programs, when they've got a guest on, and you know, whoever the guy is, Stephanopoulos or Chuck Todd or Margaret Brennan, whoever it is, they ask somebody a question. And this is true of both sides, but currently it seems to be more true of the administration side. If you ask them a question, and you know that they've got 3 minutes of airtime for their segment, and they'll talk for 2 minutes and 58 seconds on their spiel. They won't answer the question.
Well, there's an art to that.
I know.
Yeah. Well, did you happen to listen to... The one that's on CBS, because I was listening, they had Mattis on there, and they followed him up with this African-American guy from Carolina. And you know what, Brendan? They were one was as bad as the other. I mean, I'm happy now that I'm in the middle politically, because you can see. You know what? They sounded exactly the same. You couldn't get a straight answer out of them, and they were just pushing their... What is the story? I mean, what exactly... You can really tell the people who are... And this is getting to the point, this is really pissing me off, Brendan, it really is. I mean, to the point where it doesn't do me any good to bitch about it, but the idea that what the black guy says, well, you know, unless you can guarantee 100% safety, you can't go back to school. But then, by the way, those are my people and I want them still getting paid.
Uh-huh.
Okay, well, the thing that grabs me here is, am I the only guy who's, and I know I'm not, but am I the only guy who's picking up on the absolute class warfare going on here? All the uh-huh. people who want to stay home and get paid still want all the serfs, for lack of a better term, to produce, make sure that the Amazon thing's there in an hour, make sure the stores are packed, make sure that the sandwich shows up. What do they think about those people? They're lower class, so they get the work in a pandemic, but I don't have to?
Well, that's exactly what's happening. And, you know, when you were talking about the stock earlier, what I see now is that that's exactly what's going to happen with the economy. You're going to have what I'm hearing now is referred to as the K economy, where when the economy comes back, you know, you're going to have a wider differential between the upper class and the lower class, the economic upper class and lower class, because so many of the people on the lower end are not seeing the benefits of any recovery at all. And that, I think that goes to your point that, you know, the people who are delivering the sandwiches that are being made, that are delivering the Amazon packages, they're not going to get a lot of the benefit of this. The stock may go up for Amazon and Microsoft and companies like that. So their shareholders may make more. And in theory, with the stock market going up, it looks like the economy is improving, but we're really not. We're really putting a lot of people in a lot of hurt, as the recovery takes place.
Well, it wasn't that long ago, Brendan, that if you worked at Home Depot, when they first started, where did they start, like in Georgia or someplace? Somewhere south. And you were a shareholder. And a lot of the people, the original people who worked at Walmart and Sam's were shareholders. I don't think this guy at Amazon, he has not a stitch of DNA in him that he wants anybody there being owners, does he? It's all him.
It's mostly him, yeah.
Yeah, it's all him. I mean, it's in It just seems strange to me that this stuff is not talked about, I guess, because they're too big advertisers or something. Anyway, Brendan, thank you very much, bud. Might need you this week before Friday. We might have a couple of holes, bud. We'll talk at you. SP Futures down 11 now, NASDAQ Futures down 40. Right back, Mr. Joel Encanen.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to gauge the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other decision. And Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with relevant trade ideas, and equips you with cutting-edge tactics you don't already know. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on pursuing life, luxury, and happiness through sports, fitness, travel, food, spirits, music, and a whole lot more. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
Hello, I'm David Andelman, founder and president of DAX Research, a registered commodity trading advisor. I'm also a wealth manager and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio show. For more than 30 years, professional traders at the Chicago Mercantile Exchange, including four past CME presidents, have chosen DAX Research to help guide their trading. That same research is now available to you. We are offering three of our research newsletter, the Daily World News Report, our daily stock and futures trading recommendations, and our twice-weekly top three tiers of recommended stocks, including potential shorts. Each of these reports are available via email before the market opens. Go to our website, www.dacsresearch.net, to obtain the tool that meets your trading and investment needs. Or call me and get 2 weeks free with a one-month subscription. 1-800-821-4968. Stock and futures trading have risk of loss and are not suitable for everyone.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI Pro Direct can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI Pro Direct. Cheap prices along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com, PTIProDirect.com.
Hello, this is Tom Howe, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you're aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed-income securities, and are now unhappy with that choice. At PTI, we've always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and tried to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTISecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTISecurities.com.
Stocks, jocks,
stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Here, right now.
Hello and welcome to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Howe. Mr. Matt Weber on the board. We have Mr. Joel Ancannon with us on the second. SP Futures down 13. NASDAQ Futures down 47. Dow's down 45. Around the rest of the world. We've got the Nikkei up 378, 1.7, reflecting yesterday's rally here. Shanghai up 3, call that flat. Hang Seng, however, up 488, that's 2%. So we're to the bullish side there. Europe over the other way, well, mixed here too. DAX down 63.5%, FTSE up 10.1%. CAC around down 2, call that flat. We've got bonds, 0.53. These guys continue to go down as the market continues to go up. Interest rates continue to go down, which is really the opposite message there, you would think. One minus 0.54. Japan stuck right on positive 0.01. They've been there for 2-3 weeks now, which is crazy. Oil down 76 cents, 40.25. Brent down 79, 43.36. Natural gas, wow, 2.13. And I think our friend Joel bought a bunch of this stuff at 1.48. 100 contracts, it's like 20 grand a contract, a tick. Oh man, Joel must be doing pretty good. Arbob down 1 cent, 120. Gold up 250, 1988. Still trying to push that 2000. Silver down 6 cents, 2435. Copper 289, down 2 cents. Maddie, what do you got for us? Traffic, weather, sports, Hawks, not so good.
Not so good for the Hawks. We'll get to that in just a minute. 36 minutes past the hour. Good morning to everyone out there. A couple of issues to report so far on a Tuesday morning. On the Stevenson inbound side, just before Cass Avenue, there is a crash that's been moved to the left shoulder, but it's causing some slowdowns, especially in the left lane, as you're navigating across that. So keep that in mind if you're heading inbound on I-55, just before Cass Avenue, an earlier crash that's causing some delays. North of there, on the Veterans Memorial I-355, on the northbound side, just before St. Charles Road, there was a rollover crash that happened earlier this morning involving an SUV that has crews on the scene. Hopefully that driver is okay, no word on that, but some delays on the northbound I-355 Veterans Memorial because of that earlier crash. And then just northeast of there, Villa Avenue at Wooddale Road, which is US 20, there is a crash out in the western suburbs. No issues if you're coming in on the Edens or Kennedy. Eisenhower looking good. Dan Ryan, I-57, and the Bishop Port are all quiet, as is Lakeshore Drive. Weather today, it's going to be cool out there today for early August. Partly cloudy skies, a high of just 71 with a nice cool breeze, no humidity. Right now it's mostly clear and 61 degrees downtown. For our Phoenix listeners, partly cloudy with a high of 110 today, a little bit cooler than it's been, but still obviously very hot. Right now it's clear and 86. In sports, Cubs still have the best record in the National League. They're now 8-2. They shut out Kansas City last night at Wrigley 2-0. White Sox have won 4 in a row. They're 6-4 on the season. Both teams would firmly be in the playoffs if they started today. They won up at Milwaukee 6-4. Diamondbacks were off. They'll host the Houston Astros at 7:10 local time tonight. And in hockey, as Chief mentioned, Blackhawks and Edmonton Oilers are now tied at one game apiece in their best of five series. Hawks were doubled up last night, 6-3. Hawks fell behind early, rallied back, and tied it late in the second period at three apiece, but could not score anymore. Edmonton kept tacking on goals and ended up winning 6-3. Game three of that series is tomorrow night, 9:30 p.m. Central Time, puck drop. Chief.
That's a tough time.
That is a tough time.
Where did Cubs get that pitcher last night?
Alec Mills?
Yeah.
He's a young guy that they brought up through their system. They called him up last year. He was pretty good. He's been pretty damn good this year, too.
Well, I asked you yesterday. I said, hey, got anybody brought up through the system? You said no.
Not in the bullpen. You asked about the bullpen.
Oh,
he's a starter.
All right. Well, that's cool. Quintana still nowhere?
Still out with after surgery on his hand, apparently from cutting it on a wine glass, doing dishes. If you believe that.
I know. Joel, how are you, buddy?
I'm doing well, Chief. I finally get to talk some sports.
Yeah, well, hey, if you don't mind, you guys are in that area in Michigan. Well, first of all, are your beloved Red Wings, are they even involved, or were they not invited?
They got the Ziggy. No, they weren't invited to those exciting playoffs, Chief.
Yeah. Well, the same thing happened. The NBA started the other night, and two games played, and then I said, well, tomorrow the Bulls must be starting. Then I go, oops, the Bulls aren't in it. So you must feel the same way about the Red Wings. I'm going to ask you a question. Let's lay off the big teams for a while because they'll probably find a way to make some money. But what is going on with the Slippery Rock and the Western Michigan and those kinds of people? Is the Northern Illinois, what are their football programs? I don't think they make that much money on TV. If they don't have any live gate, what are they going to do? Are they out?
Oh man! I mean, it's impossible to predict what's going to happen on the college football scene. I did see. Now I don't know what happened. Arkansas State was supposed to be playing in the Big House, and I think that they had a clause in there that Michigan. They said they were showing up no matter what to get paid. Now I don't know if Michigan found a way out of that clause or not, but. Man, is it going to be hard for these little schools and these programs? I mean, what do you have? 4, 5, 6, maybe 10 programs in the country that make money off football, and then that supports a lot of the the other teams. I mean, I, boy, let alone not having the students in school here, which is yet to be determined. But man, just a lot of different factors that you have to take into account. And none of them seem to be good, and you're talking about hockey. I mean, can you imagine? I mean, I'm the biggest sports fan. College football, college basketball, and I like my other sports. But the most exciting thing is definitely a seventh game of a Stanley Cup, right? Overtime.
Right?
I mean, what's more exciting than that? Can you imagine that with that happening with no fans in the stands?
The hypocrisy. Oh. The hypocrisy and the decision making, how you can have a plane. And out of all the places, if you were to ask, you were to ask me, if you wanted to catch a cold or the flu, what's the first thing you would do? I'd say I'd get on in the middle of flu season, I'd get on a cross country flight. Is there any bigger hotbed of germs than on a plane? And yet, the planes are full and you can't put 1,000 people in Notre Dame Stadium. I mean, something is so wrong there. I can't. I mean, it's like a 2-year-old would say, "Daddy, how are those both things both true?" I mean, I don't. And yet, we saw a study yesterday, and I don't want to talk about COVID here, but it said in 4 other countries in the world they've done studies. Now they're not jammed like they used to be. They've seen no outbreak that's attributable to riding public transportation. People are wearing masks and they're, staying as far away as they can and not coughing on people. They're using some common sense and they've seen no outbreak attributable to public transportation. And yet you can't put 1,000 people in Wrigley Field?
I think what it comes down to is like, what 1,000 people is that going to be? What 15,000 people are they going to put in Michigan Stadium? How are they going to prioritize that? Just going back to the COVID thing, and I followed very closely with my wife being involved in the medical profession. In one thing that is the positive, and you have to look at this, is the hospitalization rate. Okay, yeah, there's more testing, there's more cases, but I tell you, there was nothing that frightened me more than the height of the crisis when you knew or you thought, man, if you got sick. That you couldn't go to the hospital,
right.
A, because you didn't want to be exposed to the other elements there, and B, because they were full. I mean, to me, that was the height of the crisis. Now, you are having a lot more infections, but the hospitalization rate is down. So that could be construed as a positive. So I don't want to be all negative and stuff, but, you just have to take that into account.
Joel, you have any idea, I know you do, I mean, I will say that anyway, how many tests were given on, like, Sunday or Saturday, countrywide?
I do not know, but along the lines of what I was speaking about before, my wife just thinks, like, when we were at the height of it, and, there were X amount of cases, she's figuring that there was, like, 10X or 20X amount of cases there, but not, they weren't all to the level. Obviously, people were getting tested, but they all weren't to the level of people having to go to the hospital. But, the vaccine, is a wild card. You're getting, a lot of different information out of a lot of different companies. That's one thing that, that's the positive. I mean, that's it. That's what we got to have. We got to have a vaccine. And a lot of brilliant people are working on it, and hopefully it'll be something that happens soon. But I don't know. When I look at this, I remember after 9/11, I was really shaken after 9/11. I was at that time, I was running a day trading operation. We were out of the markets for an entire week. And I just sat around that week watching the TV and everything that was transpiring. And so these kind of things, you don't bounce back in a year, or 2 years or 3 years. This is something, went with the year, but man, this has wreaked so much havoc on our sports, on our education, on the way we conduct our lives. It's going to take a while to get back to normal. The market doesn't say that, but common sense does.
Well, the market, you can't, in one man's opinion, you can't believe a market when your money supply is going up 35% in a year. And it's all going to a few stocks. I mean, something's seriously wrong there, Joel, and I don't know what the penalty is going to be, but there's going to be one.
Yeah, I mean, that's what the gold's telling you, that's what silver's telling you, that's what, Bitcoin now is, a correlated asset to, gold and silver now, so a lot of different things, giving a lot of different signals. The markets, had a nice day yesterday, potential double top under 3,300, jobs number on Friday, may see a little profit taking into that. But, overall, own the big stocks. They're performing well.
You all take care of yourself. Talk to you next week.
Go Blue.
S&P futures down 13 and a quarter. NASDAQ futures down 40. Be right back, Mr. Kenny Polcari.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Hi, I'm Audrey Johnson, owner of Home Source Realty and frequent contributor to Stocks and Jocks radio show. If you're thinking about purchasing real estate this summer, could be a good time to shop around. Whether you're a novice or seasoned investor, low interest rates and good inventory make adding bricks and mortar investment to your portfolio an interesting possibility. Many a great fortune has begun with the purchase of property. Call me today for your personal investment consultation, and I would be happy to get you started on your path to prosperity. You can reach me at AudreyJohnson@Realtor.com or call me at 708-349-3456. That's 708-349-3456.
Interested in promoting your business to a high-end audience comprised of entrepreneurs, traders, executives, and the everyday business person? Consider advertising on Stocks and Jocks. With a devout listenership covering the Chicago market, along with a vast online presence, advertising on Stocks and Jocks may be just what it takes to put your business over the top. For more information, contact me, Matt Weber, at matt@stocksandjocks.net. That's matt@stocksandjocks.net.
Stocks, Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now.
Them yo-yos, that's the way you do it. You play the guitar on the MTV. That ain't working, that's the way you do it. Money for nothing and your chicks are free. Now that ain't working, that's the way you do it.
Well, Northbank Stocks and Jacks, I'm Tim Holland. You just met Weber on the board. SP Futures now down 14 and a quarter, and NASDAQ Futures down 45. Individual stocks aren't doing too much. I've got Microsoft down 299 to 213. I've got Boeing up $1.11, so there's not much going on, really. Kenny, how are you?
There's not much going on. Tom, what was the question you asked me last Tuesday as this segment was closing? Apple going to do? And I told you it was going up, and you laughed at me. Look what
she's
done. It's up 20% a week.
What's another trillion in 2 weeks, Kenny?
I mean, listen, it's only 36 points away from being a $2 trillion company, so I'm sure by the time all the Robinhood traders get into it today, it'll be up there before the market opens.
Before the market opens. Kenny, I'm not going to mention that you and I have an Italian ancestry. Why should I say anything like that? But this, as you know, I mean, I never thought I'd be like this, because I've always been kind of a rebel. But I've become much more of a fan of the process. Is the people fought and died for a process, and people just can't do whatever they damn well please. But I'm reading those headlines today about this TikTok thing.
Yeah.
And China slamming the U.S. as a rogue country for its planned smash and grab of TikTok. How is this not an Untouchables episode where some guy has a trucking company and all of a sudden we get the police to stop all his trucks without any process whatsoever, without any charges? Have somebody walk in and say, maybe I can do better with this. By the way, your company's worth $1 million. I'll offer you $300,000. You better take it. How is this not? Did Al Capone morph himself back into Donald Trump? What is this?
Wow, that's a conversation for a whole segment of this show.
I mean, then he wants a piece.
It feels a little bit surreal, does it not?
Well, and then he wants a cut.
Yeah. What? I mean, it feels because that's been only the tip of the iceberg. Because then I guess you could say that could be true of any merger that happens. Okay, this one is because it's specifically about China. But the truth is, if he wants a cut because the government, you know, kind of fostered this and allowed it to happen, you could say that about any merger. So then he wants a cut of everything that's going on. I don't know. It seems a little bit surreal to me. This one specifically, just because you know, it involves China, and it's certainly going to be full of, you know, it's going to be espionage. It's going to be all this kind of sexy stuff that's going to go on for the next couple of weeks or months as this whole debate rages on.
Well, Kenny, I mean, I know that. I mean, again, I can't shake the part about being the son of the Southside Irish cop. If these guys are doing something wrong, TikTok, yeah, and are operating in this country. Isn't that why you bring people up on specific charges? They get to defend themselves.
I mean, it absolutely is, and in my opinion, I think it should be banned from this country, because, as we all know, you know, all the data goes back to, you know, servers in China, and they're seeing access. They have access to all this information. The fact that Microsoft's going to buy it and it's going to become a U.S. company is almost laughable to me.
Yeah. Well, how is it somehow or another? We just talked about it early on with Brendan. He's my our attorney friend from Illinois. How is it that the people who are involved in the China stuff, how do you decide you're not going to have this Chinese company, you're going to give it to Apple, or you're going to give it to Nike? I mean, what are we doing? They're so far their nose up to behind of the Chinese. They're going to be only on the servers here, like you just said. I mean, who's stupid enough to believe this?
Right, and that's exactly right. And, you know, who made the point? Oh, it was William Barr last week when he talked about a lot of these U.S. companies being in bed with China, and that really we need to really address that. And this just speaks right to it, because Microsoft's involvement with China, and now they're going to rescue this Chinese app to put them in that social media business, but then pretend to bring it to America and make it a U.S. company with, you know, absolutely no Chinese connection or involvement. And like I said, it's laughable to me, and I want to see how it turns out. My sense is that it will go on. Whether or not Trump ends up with his finger's fee or not is a whole nother conversation, but my sense is it's going to happen. I'm not a TikTok user, so therefore, I just want to see how it plays out.
What is, for those that I'm going to say, for reasons that I'm, you know, a 7 and a 63 and about 40 other numbers after that, I don't use any of that stuff, Kenny, because it would be considered, you know, could be communication to public and that kind of thing. And what exactly does TikTok do, and why are we saying they're doing something worse than Facebook does?
I think the only thing that they do different, because it's all about they gather data, right? They gather data on everyone that's on their platform, the same way that Facebook does, the same way that Google does, and Apple and everybody else. The difference is that it's a Chinese-owned company, right? So all the servers that supposedly gather this data is located in Beijing. And so it's the question of what's happening to that data, who's looking at that data, what's the Chinese Communist Party doing with that data. So it's all about technology and control and access to the data. And so, listen, Facebook doesn't do this. Facebook does the exact same thing, as do all of them. And so that's a whole other conversation we have about privacy. Look, did you happen to see that story about the woman judge whose son got killed the other day and her husband got shot?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so she was on YouTube yesterday. She made a plea. It was heart-wrenching that this woman made a plea. But what she talked about is the fact that this guy went and got all this data on her that was out there in the public. Just all you have to go on the internet, you go on Facebook, you go on the internet, you search it, it's all out there. He had access to information that, you know, that she goes, why? Why? Because look what happened to her family now, right? I'm completely torn apart. But I'm on that side of the argument with her. I think we've done it to ourselves, though, right? We've signed away our rights to our privacy when you sign up for Facebook and Instagram and TikTok and all that stuff. And that's going to be a real issue. I mean, it already is. But it's
Kenny, some of the stuff, as
we move forward, in my opinion. We already let that genie out of the bottle. I don't think there's any way of going back.
But somebody, the little stuff, when they did the, I'll be brief on this because nobody probably cares. When they did the open road tolling on the tri-state here.
Yeah.
I believe that the story was you're only supposed to keep the data for, I mean, Kenny, you got to pay friggin' in advance. So what do they need to keep the data for more than like 90 days? But they don't. Nobody will ever. I don't think. I'll bet you, Kenny, that if the governor, if he had, you know, I'm not a big fan of his. If he said, "Look, I want this after 90 days destroyed," I guarantee you, there'd be some bleep who stuck the little what do you call the thing you stick in a computer and grab all the info.
No doubt about it.
It would never leave. Somebody would have it someplace.
I don't think there's any doubt about it. And I think even on your own phone, when it says you can go in there, you can delete your history, and you can delete, you know, your search history, or you can delete your map history, whatever it is. That's all bullshit.
I agree.
Right? I don't believe any of it.
Why is it the idea that our groups are more, because Facebook has it, it's okay, you just can't be China. I mean, China, all the stuff that's happened in this country, all the crazy stuff we're doing to ourselves right now, has nothing to do with China. We're more than capable of wrecking our own place, it looks like.
Agreed. And you saw what happened in China during the COVID thing. They almost had people, you know, they were watching as people, and they were tracking as people. You had to show almost one of those barcode things. You were assigned a barcode. You had to show the barcode wherever you went. It got scanned, and so they knew exactly where you were, when you were, what time you walked in, what time you walked out, when you went to the bathroom, when you didn't go to the bathroom. I mean, it's scary on a certain level, but who says that that's not already happening here via our cell phones? Because it is.
But how do you stop it?
I like I said, we let that genie out of the bottle. I think it's impossible.
Well, but Kenny, here in Chicago, we have more cameras than any other city than London, and yet we have more crime.
Yeah.
So what good did it do?
I don't know. I think it makes everybody feel good, but I'm not sure.
I think you just give people contracts. I mean, and we have a mayor who's seemingly four steps behind everything. She's outraged. She's going to fire every policeman that covers up his badge number. And yet one of my policeman buddies calls me and says, hey, you know that there's an app now that if you have somebody's badge number, you can find out how many kids they have, where they live?
I mean, exactly the point that this woman said yesterday. Exactly the point. There's too much information out there on everybody, and you get bad people like this guy that went and blew her family apart. Because he went online and he gathered all this information about her and her husband and her kid. He was tracking them. He knew where they went, when they went, where they hung out, where their favorite places were, what routes they took. I mean, it was scary what this guy found out.
That's really something. I didn't see that, but I'm gonna find it on YouTube.
Yeah, it's on YouTube, and I forget what her name is, but you can Google it real quick. You'll see it. She made this impassioned plea. I have to tell you, it was heartbreaking to hear this woman. You know, whose husband is still in the hospital recovering from three bullet wounds, and whose son is waiting for the husband to get out of the hospital so they can properly bury him.
Are they going to let him have more 10 people at the funeral?
That's another story.
All right, buddy. Take care of yourself. Talk next week. SP Futures down 15, 50. NASDAQ Futures down 50. We come back with Mr. Mike Hart. It'll be fun.
Hello, this is Tom Howe, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you're aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed income securities, and are now unhappy with that choice. At PTI, we've always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and tried to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTISecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTISecurities.com.
Hello, I'm David Andelman, founder and president of DAX Research, a registered commodity trading advisor. I'm also a wealth manager and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio show. For more than 30 years, professional traders at the Chicago Mercantile Exchange, including four past CME presidents, have chosen DAX Research to help guide their trading. That same research is now available to you. We are offering three of our research newsletter, the Daily World News Report, our daily stock and futures trading recommendations, and our twice weekly top three tiers of recommended stocks, including potential shorts. Each of these reports are available via email before the market opens. Go to our website, www.dacsresearch.net, to obtain the tool that meets your trading and investment needs. Or call me and get 2 weeks free with a one-month subscription. 1-800-821-4968. Stock and futures trading have risk of loss and are not suitable for everyone.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI Pro Direct can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI Pro Direct. Cheap prices along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com. PTIProDirect.com.
Hear ye, hear ye! The Homer Broadcasting System is on the air!
Stocks, jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control!
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
something happening here.
Hello, North Bay Stacks and Jacks. I'm Tom Howie. He's Mr. Matt Weber on the board. SP Futures now down 1750. NASDAQ Futures down 51. We have Mr. Mike Hart from Tasty Trade. Mike, how are you? Welcome back, buddy.
Hey, Tom. Doing great. How you doing?
Doing all right. I keep looking to my left here to your normal spot, right? I'm like looking at you when you're here, you know, type of thing. But
I know. I miss coming down to the office with you.
The, yeah, that huge buffet we put out and everything, you know? Of course, you can't do buffets anymore. That's where we stopped.
We've got the fruit, the shrimp cocktail, yeah. The, you know, the mimosas.
Oh, man, I'm missing out, yeah. No, the last buffet I went to was actually my wedding in Vegas right before they shut down Las Vegas, so... I got my last buffet in before then.
Oh, well, very nice.
Well, Mike, I'm sure you can be absolutely assured that the people who shut down buffets did nothing but rigorous study on the matter and found that people share, you know, wing COVID at each other at a buffet. I mean, I'm sure you absolutely are, that are people who make these rules are sure of that and not just shooting from their ass. Just saying.
I think when you talk about high level of risk and you're talking about, consuming food, I think the buffet, the style of buffet has to be exceptionally risky, my guess would be.
Well, that's the thing. It's. I'm not so sure I would disagree, but I don't know, and it would be hard pressed for me to make a law when I don't know.
That's true. That is true.
I mean, I'd be much more reluctant to say 6 feet when I don't really know if it's 3, 4, 5, or 6, but I'll put my political
bind. Could be 10.
Could be 10. I mean the idea of the people who are working for Jay Pritzker and Lori that come up with oh no, you can't have two people in a golf cart. Oh no, you can't do that. I don't think they have any idea what the hell they're doing. They're just pulling stuff out of their behind. I mean, if they did, I wouldn't care. I mean, I'd like to see people have some intelligence, but I don't know that they do.
Right, and the idea of micromanaging, you know, smaller situations where, you know, the risk levels are, I don't know, somewhere in the middle, it's tough because there's so many different, I guess, nuances and ways that this thing could get spread. So I completely agree with you, Tom. I think this is, they're beginning to throw too much information. It's information overload at a certain point.
There's now going to be steps to use when you go to the can. I mean, we're reaching that level. How many times in the last 3 months have you heard you can't count on people to have common sense? You have to tell them what to do. I must have heard that 100 times from different people, and that could be the most dangerous statement I think I've ever heard. Knowing the history I know of Germany and all kinds of places, I mean, it's like gun control though. There needs to be gun control, yet whatever the level is always one idiot below me, right? I have common sense, but everybody below me doesn't have common sense, so we need something for them. But if you actually say, you're one of the idiots we're worried about, nobody wants to hear that, right?
Well, absolutely, and I think if you're one of the idiots, you don't realize you're one of the idiots. That's
right.
Probably the way it goes, yeah.
Well, that's worth it on anything, right? But everybody who talks about fat guys, there's always a guy 1 pound heavier than them, right?
That's true, yeah.
Anyway, you're the man that's going to tell us. I'm astounded, you know, that the amount of younger people, I'm not accusing you of being younger, but you are a lot younger, that have with what we're doing that is COVID and the market and the Fed, somehow they've seen it all before. God, Mike, I can't, you could read back to the Middle Ages and maybe somewhere during the mercantile era that my buddy Robert could say in, you know, 1548, this is what the Dutch did and it screwed them all over. How does anybody have any idea about what we're doing now has happened before?
I don't think history is a reliable place for us to look right now. I mean, we can look back, you know, the idea of comparing where we're at to the Great Depression to me isn't very helpful or useful. We're talking about antiquated markets back then. We're in a different trading environment completely. You know, making those comparisons, maybe on a high level, we can do that a little bit on a high level when we're talking about Fed policy, monetary policy, fiscal policy. But, you know, on a trading level, we're in a whole new environment. Information is spread much, much faster. You know, you could make the argument that prices are more fair in this market with the efficiency or the liquidity. But then you look at where prices are, and it's also hard to make the case that, hey, we're trading at fair levels at these amazingly inflated prices, but we don't have history for a guy. This is a new experiment that we're looking at playing out in real time, and that's my opinion.
See, I'm not so sure it is, but I don't know why it's different this time than the last time, when I say during the 70s, 60s and 70s. If you ask anybody, I mean, especially a guy like you who knows this, I'm going to have to say better than me these days, maybe always. If I were to say to you, if you double the amount of Apple stock, meaning you put out a stock dividend or you split, which is, a split is nothing more than 100% stock dividend for those that don't know the definition, what's the price of Apple going to be? You're going to say, well, gee, it closed at 434. It's going to open up at, you know, 217, right?
Sure.
But if I ask you the other question, what if Apple is just being Apple and some, I'll say, buffoonish government decides to double the amount of dollars in circulation? What does that do to the price of Apple?
Well, you know, you look at the appreciation of assets and you look at that exact thing where you have a monetary supply that's simply increasing. You have a transfer to those assets. So you have an appreciation, almost an artificial appreciation of those asset prices. And I say artificial, whereas there's no wealth added to that system. It's simply a price that's added. So prices become inflated, but there's no additional wealth. It's just a higher price or a notional value.
But it's very uneven because nobody's getting a 50% raise this year.
Correct. Yes, wage inflation not so great.
I'm going to start this weekend since, I'll have workers over, so I'll have time while they're working. I'm kind of stunned, and maybe you can help me here. How is it that if you look at our inflation of the late 70s and 80s, all right, where the Fed essentially started pouring money into the system, we went off the gold standard, we tried to pay for the Vietnam War, blah, 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 and all of a sudden we get all this inflation. But we never got, originally, the market went up somewhat. We had a rally in the market. But as soon as people started demanding more for long-term debt, in other words, interest rates went up, the interest rate model worked, okay? So in other words, if long-term rates are, hey, if the inflation is 10%, I want 12% for my money. I want 10% that you're stealing from me in the currency. And
sure.
I want the 2%.
And that's a working environment right there. That's exactly what you'd expect. The monetary policy where you start playing with the interest rates to affect the inflation levels in the U.S., that's one way that we do it. So higher inflation, or rather higher interest rates, would be sort of a way to combat inflation.
Except that's not happening this time at all.
No.
And the weird part is I went back and looked at three other, you know, hopefully they remain worse than us. Three other, I'll say, massive inflation. Two of them recently, by the way. But one was the Weimar Republic. One is Iran, and one is Venezuela. In all three of those instances, they're behaving like we are now. They're not. The interest rates didn't go up. The interest rates went up so fast in the 70s, the market went down, not up, even though there was more dollars in the system. So, but I mean, in the Weimar Republic, is the market went from like 200 to a million. Same thing in Iran. Is they tripled the money supply 1 year, the market tripled in Iranian currency. Same thing
right.
in Venezuela. And now, but we're following that model now. We're not following our model of the 70s where it popped out in interest rates and people said, no, I'm not giving you my money for 30 years when you got a 10% inflation rate. What am I, an idiot? Well, now people are doing that. And I think it seems like the Fed now is pouring so much money into the system, they're overwhelming even the common sense of the long-term rates. I mean, in my lifetime, it's always been the Fed can control short-term rates. They never could control long-term rates because of the interest rate component. I mean, the inflation component. Now it seems like they're overwhelming even that. Or is there might totally
well,
wrong here?
Especially when you look at the level of rates going out, we just simply don't have returns that we're seeing along the yield curve, even way out. And you're right. The Fed's only playing with the front month, but it does have a lock all the way back, and you see that sensitivity move along the curve. So what I mean by sensitivity, the further out you go, you're going to see greater swings, more uncertainty with yields further out. But we're still seeing them at a very, very low levels at this point. And then you have to ask yourself, what does the Federal Reserve have in their back pocket when you don't have the ability to play with rates as much as you might have if rates weren't so low, which they are right now?
Well, I think in the 70s, Mike, and I'll go back and look at this, I think when they increased the money supply, they did it the old-fashioned way. You essentially went into the, you know, you went on a Monday and Wednesday, New York Fed, which the 2 days they did it, right, back when they used to do this kind of stuff. They would go in and they'd buy the T-bills, and they'd nudge the money supply up. And there wasn't a year there that the money supply actually went up more than 12.5%. It might have been one slightly older, but that was basically the number. We're talking about like 36. I mean, they didn't say, you know what, not only are we going to buy the T-bills and add money to the system, if somebody has the nerve to sell down the 30-year because they think there's inflation there, and why would anybody buy it at that level if there's inflation, we're going to go buy that too. We're going to buy everything. I mean, I think that might be the difference, but I'm asking you to tell me I'm wrong, and then, you know, and there's another reason. It seems like they'll buy everything. It's like Europe started that. We'll buy the 30-year bonds. We'll run those up too. We'll buy your old car if you want us to. We'll buy everything.
Well, you know, I think going back to that, I think it becomes an issue of where can you chase the returns? Where if you're moving money around, where are the returns? So I suppose, you know, there certainly isn't any selling along the yield curve at this point. So yeah, I agree. There, you've got to be, if you are chasing returns down there as low as they are, you're a buyer at these levels.
Well, but I think you're somewhat safe in the sense that you think the Fed's a buyer right behind you. Well, the gentleman was on the first part of the show, Brendan, has been involved in municipal bonds and those kinds of things, school bonds, his whole life. He's an expert at that. He says mm-hmm. they've driven those down to the point where your natural customers are not a buyer. He says those things were never bought by you and me. I mean, there's people who like municipal bonds. He goes, but the markets and trade them are horrendous. I mean, you know that better than me because you guys probably trade more of those. But the insurance companies come and buy them because it's the okay rate. They don't want to pay taxes, and they never sell them. They're 20 years, 25 years, wherever they are, 15 years. But now those guys are not going to come buy a bond from Chicago for 2% just because the Fed's buying the rest of them. They will not do that. How can they lock themselves into a 2% rate over 25 years when the inflation is going to be 5?
Well, that's just it. And then you look at the returns of the stock market as a comparison, and you know, we're chasing huge returns in the stock market. We're trading near the highs, NASDAQ making new highs. You look at the big names, Apple, Amazon, Google, Netflix, they're all leading this NASDAQ much higher. But when you compare the equity world and the fixed income world, the returns are all on the equity side. The other thing that I find interesting with what's going on in the market right now is you have a market that's moving much higher, but that gold trade is becoming interesting to me. The gold, silver trade, but those metals that seem to hold on to value. Typically, when you see fear in the market, you might see a flight to safety with gold and silver. We're seeing a market that's moving higher. There should be, if anything, maybe complacency here. We're not seeing complacency. We're seeing high volatility, and we're also seeing gold prices that are moving higher. So there's a level of fear out there that we're seeing through the appreciation of gold, call it. There's a level of fear that I think we're seeing get spread around throughout the market, but we're not seeing it in prices. It's not being reflected in asset prices, and it could come back to that idea where we're filling the system with money, so it's artificially inflating all of these prices.
Well, the thing that is a guy who lived with the first inflation, one of my biggest problems with inflation is, and I think, I don't know if you, I imagine you would agree, but if all of a sudden we all walked in, if they could find some reason to do it, which I could never figure out why they would, if we all walked into the Fed, if the building was open and we gave them our $1 bills and they gave us $2 bills, I don't think we would be opposed to that. I don't know why we would do it, but then everybody'd be fine. If I owed you $20, now I owe you $40, right? But the, mm-hmm. but the point is, it's never that way. There's always people that are favored by inflation and those that aren't. Some people are able to raise prices and some people aren't. Now, in the old days, I mean, clearly the oil companies were able to raise prices, right? Back in those days. And everybody blamed them. They just happened to be the benefactors because there would happen to be a little shortage in oil at the same time. It spits out someplace. Sure. I mean, here it's been, for 20 years, it's been medicine and higher tuition, right? It's been higher education and medicine. And in taxes have been the three places. And none of those things are even represented, really, in the CPI.
It's interesting that you picked those three. So those are you would recognize those as like the three that have seen the largest change in prices.
Yes.
Yeah.
And you know what, Mike? I went back and I did some research on a very rainy day, and I actually found, believe it or not, me, the world's worst internet guy. I found a site, and it's not a porn site, so relax. It has every school in the country, every higher college, junior college, you name it, all of the tuition and room and board going back to 2000. So I was able to calculate using this site. Mm-hmm. The CPI from 2000 is 0.52. So in other words, if you had a dollar, allegedly you would need $1.52. That's the combined inflation for the last 20 years, according to the CPI.
Okay.
The higher education, and this is an undershot, because they're playing all these games about in-state, out-of-state. Well, I didn't have the time to play with all that crap. So it's about 2.85. And if you go back, and again, I did how much a firm has to pay for somebody's hospitalization from 2000 on, and I didn't have the time to go into the deductibles and whether dental was included. Now it's not, that kind of crap. So I'm saying these numbers I'm giving you are actually conservative. Guess what? It's the exact same number, 2.85. Exact same number. And then I tried to find out what lower education was, and the only way I could get close to that was to look at property taxes. Because most areas, at least here in Illinois, I mean, you're probably well aware, it's 55-60% of your local tax bill is property taxes, right? But trying mm-hmm. to find that for other states, you know, it's kind of above my pay grade. You young guys could go through a bunch of them and figure out how to do it. But so I just looked at Illinois. Guess what it was? Three times. So the
that's amazing.
And
yeah.
If you look at your CPI number, if you look at higher education, healthcare, well, the biggest bleep up there is that healthcare is 20% of the economy and it's 5 or 6% of the CPI. Right. So if you went back and just made that number 20% for the last 20 years. This whole idea that there's been no inflation would be out the board just on that. But if you take the three of them, I think they come up to like less than 15% of the CPI. You tell me a family, you find anybody who do higher education, property taxes, or lower education,
right,
and hospitalization is 15% of his basket, that guy must be the Unabomber living in Idaho or someplace. Because there's no way that those numbers are correct.
When you start throwing numbers like that, you start seeing the inherent problem maybe that is affecting this economy, where and going back to what you said in the beginning, we haven't seen these types of dynamics play out before. So we're in new territory here, without a doubt. But absolutely, when you look over the course of the past 20 years, things have changed, especially I think you're hitting on a very good piece there with higher education and that the entire system. When you look at prices that have changed that dramatically and you compare it to the rest of the system, there starts to be a real disconnect. And you said the CPI relative to the college CPI, what, it's about half?
No, it's five times as much.
Oh, five times as much, yeah. Okay.
Same way with hospitalization.
I mean, that's even more incredible at that.
Same thing as hospitalization.
I wonder how it's even sustainable.
The same thing with property taxes.
Yeah.
They're three times what they were, and the CPI says they should be 50% higher. So a big difference between three times and 50%.
Well, and then it also goes back to the idea that, is there inflation in this economy? I think everyone would agree that prices seem much, much higher than maybe the inflation numbers actually suggest they should be. So It does feel like prices are moving higher in general for everything, not just on healthcare, property taxes, and education. But it does seem that prices in general, there seems to be somewhat of a disconnect with where we would be pinpointing inflation and where inflation actually feels like it might be.
Well, a lot of this stuff is that nobody, unless you're, I think one of the big, shall we say, schisms in the world, in our economic world, are people who make 50 grand a year that have their hospitalization paid for by their company. It's really like they're making 75 grand a year, right?
Sure.
And if you're making 50 and they're not paying for it, it's like you're making 30 a year. I mean, that is a dramatic difference in lifestyle. I mean, it is the gorilla in the room that nobody talks about. I mean, and
who? Can I ask you a question? Who's paying $20,000 a year in health insurance? Is that a 70-year-old or is that a?
I'm saying the average cost.
I'm asking because I don't know. I'm not
the average cost of a family that because we pay it here at PTI. The average cost of a family across the board is like $1,500 a month for a full policy. That's with you having a deductible now, and maybe you're even contributing. That number was like 500 in 2000. I mean, that's what your company is paying for you and Jill. You don't know it doesn't sound like it. I mean, it's what I'm saying.
Because when I used to pay health insurance on my own, which wasn't that long ago, now granted, you know, we're talking 10 years ago, and I was in my mid-20s, it was like $150 a month.
Yeah, absolutely. 25-year-old male, it's $1,500 a year, $2,000.
Far from $20,000 a year.
Oh, I'm saying the family. Mm-hmm. Well, Dan's sitting right next to you. Ask him over the last time we paid.
So I'm either way disconnected, which is very possible. That's why I'm asking.
Well, you weren't a family.
Or that number's not right.
Well, we were the absolute worst. And we paid here, we had four older guys and three birth-age women. So we could not get a deal. We couldn't get a deal from Trump.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah.
So, but I'm saying $1,200-$1,500 is the number, is what people pay per month. It might even be more than that now. So I mean that's Obamacare. If you're a family of four is what it's like $1,000 a month plus $600 deductible or something like that. I mean it's more than that. It's like a $5,000 deductible for a family. So yeah, I'm not that far off.
Dan handed me a note saying that Obamacare Bronze is $941 a month,
and you know,
and there are two better tiers.
Yes,
but still, that's $12,000 or not $11,000.
Oh, and what's the deductible?
Nowhere near 20, by the way.
What's the deductible?
What's the deductible?
Deductible's huge on the Bronze. Ours was like $250.
It's high. I'm sure it is.
I think the deductible for a family of four is like $12,000.
That's a number.
Yeah. So I mean, you don't.
Sorry to interrupt. I just didn't.
No,
I didn't know those numbers.
No,
they don't seem real to me. But I don't have a family necessarily, and I'm also nor am I a senior or a pregnant age woman. So maybe I'm probably the cheapest, but still, $20,000. What you quoted seems really high.
What's $1,500 a month is pretty close.
Yeah, it's like $18,000 or something.
Right, so $18,000.
But still, that seems high. Dan says he's paying $900, which is still seems high, but it's not $20,000.
Well, I mean,
it's like half of that.
Be happy. That's why 25-year-old guys are somewhat clueless on the rest of the world.
Agreed. That's why I'm asking.
I just had like a small cut on the top of my head that required stitches, and I believe the final bill when it was all said and done, stitches on the top of the head, it was several thousand dollars.
Yeah, several thousand bucks.
So even a small procedure, the prices are prices don't seem to reflect maybe what you're getting.
So what are you paying insurance for if a cut on your head is several thousand dollars?
The deductible, that's what I've
said. For God's sake.
My Hispanic friends, I have a lot of them, when they have the Obamacare, and I sit and it's $12,000 for the family, and the kid gets a cut playing soccer, and you're still going to county. And the county's probably charging you. You can't handle that $4,000 insurance bill in the.
When I broke my finger, I'm trying to think of what I paid out of pocket. I think it was like maybe $1,500, something like that.
Well, but you had a
sucks, but
you had a you had
but
a,
I have health insurance.
You had a, but if you had a doctor, okay, and you didn't see the thing bent the first night and go into the emergency room. If you did, you'd have a deal just like Mike. where they take your blood pressure, they take some blood, they make you pee in a cup, and you're going to get a bill from all those people.
Mm-hmm.
It has nothing to do with your finger.
I still had to pay the, you know, what's it called, the chick that puts you under.
Yeah.
The anesthesiologist or whatever. That was a big number. I think that was the majority of my bill, but I think out of pocket I was between $15,000 and $2,000, which still sucked, and I didn't want to pay it.
When I first started in the business, 81, it was late 80, you became a market maker at First App. I don't know if you remember that name, Mike. So all you need to be a market maker. You can make two trades a month. They covered your hospitalization and your family. And if Maddie, if I brought you on as a clerk, guess what my number was for you?
How much?
$75. I mean, can you imagine today? And if you had a family, it was like a 1.25. So I could cover. I was covered, well, included. I won't say for free. And you got a whole family for 1.25 a month. And I'm guarantee you, your deductible is way less than it was now. Than it is now. I mean, this has done nothing but walk all over.
There's
people.
No doubt about that.
And I'm saying it's the gorilla in the room, you know.
And then you also, you know, at what point can you not go much higher? I mean, isn't it reaching a certain level where it's representing too much of a proportion of individuals' incomes? The number's getting too large. So, at what point can it not really go much higher? Are we already at those levels?
Well, Well, let's continue this after the break. SP Futures down 13. NASDAQ is down 41. Be right back, Stacks and Jacks.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to gauge the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other decision. And Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with relevant trade ideas, and equips you with cutting-edge tactics you don't already know. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on pursuing life, luxury, and happiness through sports, fitness, travel, food, spirits, music, and a whole lot more. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. Confused about investing these days? I suspect you are not alone. Investing was never easy, although at times it may have seemed so. I think one reason behind the current concern, although maybe not explained as such, is how the fluctuation in the American dollar and the associated politics is affecting your investments and your wealth. It may not be enough to make some money in your investments. You may need now to make enough to exceed the amount that your leadership is depreciating the value of the dollars you've worked your whole life to accumulate. That same leadership has seen fit to maneuver risk-free interest rates to near zero. Providing positive risk-averse returns in a zero-interest and declining real wealth environment is by far the toughest assignment I've ever had in my years as a money manager. I'm sure that a lot of you have heard that one way to possibly deal with this problem is to invest in so-called hard currencies like silver and gold, the idea being that they will retain their relative value in the face of devaluation of paper currencies like the dollar. To be honest, I have never been a gold bug. I've always had faith that having enough dollars and a good investment strategy was good enough. Now I'm not so sure. But I do know that if I did invest in gold or silver, I'd want to do it in the same manner as we do with PTI for investments in the market, with defined risk. If you feel the need to invest in gold or silver, we can do it using the same strategies that we use for our protected index program. No matter what you invest in, we feel that you need to know and control your risk. Find us at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Stocks, jocks,
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Well, hello, everybody. Stocks and Jocks. I'm talking about Mr. Matt Weber on the board. We have Mr. Mike Carr with us. Just Mike, when you're talking about inflation, our buddy Carl, who of course is Mr. Anti whatever going on with the COVID thing. I don't know if you saw this one, Maddie. The person in their county or somebody, whoever it was, just put in a full-blown, you got to wear a mask everywhere kind of thing. The next second, a car goes into the Kroger, and there's this big display for masks, $15 for three of them, and they're dust masks. They're designed for, like, plasterboard. They have nothing to do with germs. But with this ridiculous any mask is a good mask kind of crap that we're doing, he says they're talk about gouging. He says they're normally 50 cents a piece in the construction aisle. Now they're $15 for three of them out in a big display because you have to wear a mask like that day. There's always somebody. But there's what did P.T. Barnum? There's one born every minute and two to take them or something like that.
Go to any website, whether it's a sports team or a musical act that you like or anything. They all have masks for sale right now.
I mean, how many of them are medical grade? Probably none.
Well, that I don't know, but...
Anyway, S&P futures down 13, NASDAQ futures down 41. We've got the Dow down 69. Over in Asia, we've got mostly up here. We got the NASDAQ Nikkei up 378. Now, they were down earlier this week pretty heavy, and they made all that back, 1.7. Shanghai up 3, call that flat. Hang Seng, however, up 48, that's 2%. Remember when we had all this problem with Hong Kong? Now those guys seem to bounce right back. DAX minus 76, that's 0.6%. FTSE up 6, call that flat. CAC down 5, call that flat. So mixed and like not much in Europe. Bonds steady at 0.5. Actually, no, they're down 333 basis points, or 0.53. Bund minus 0.54. Japan hanging in there above 0 at 0.01 like they have been for like the last 3 weeks. Gold up $6, 1992. Silver up 3 cents, 2445. Copper 288. Still can't make it to $3, although it keeps trying. And we have oil down 74 cents, but over 40, 4027. Seems to have kind of found a home here between 39 and 42. At least for oil, of course, whenever I say that, it breaks out one way or the other, but it's been in a range for a bit. Brent 43.37, natural gas 2.11. Again, way above the 148 or 142 low it made. I'm going to say in May or April. RBOB 119, it's down to almost 2 cents. Maddie, what do you got for us? Traffic, weather, sports.
37 minutes past the hour. Good morning once again to everyone out there. We're very quiet, Chief, on the area expressways, roadways, and tollways. That earlier crash on the Stevenson at Cass Avenue is all clear. No resulting congestion from that. Also, that earlier rollover crash on I-355 is clear as well. So we have no issues on any of the area expressways at this hour, which is great news if you're coming in on the Edens or Kennedy. Eisenhower looking good. I mentioned the Stevenson. Southside expressways have been quiet all morning. Lakeshore Drive looking good, too. Only crash on the screen is in the northwest suburbs, right near Hanover Park. There's a crash at Irving Park Road and Barrington Road that's causing a bit of a slowdown. But everything else looking good out there. Weather today, clouds early and then mostly sunny skies, mild temperatures. In fact, cool temperatures, a high of just 71, low humidity. It's going to be gorgeous out there. You can have your windows open. Right now it is cloudy and 62 going up to a high of 71. For our Phoenix listeners, mostly sunny and 110 today. Right now it's clear and 87. In sports, both the Cubs and White Sox are red hot right now. They've both won four straight. and both would firmly be in the playoffs. Granted, we're only 10 games into the season. Cubs shut out Kansas City last night 2-0 at Wrigley. They're 8-2 on the season. Best record in the National League. Second best record in all of baseball. White Sox are now 6-4. They've actually won 5 in a row. I think I said 4 in a row. Sox have won 5 in a row. They started out 1-4 and are now 6-4. They took care of Milwaukee by a final score of 6-4 up in Milwaukee. Diamondbacks were off. They'll host the Astros tonight. That's a 7:10 local time first pitch. And lastly, Blackhawks are in their play-in series against Edmonton. They were doubled up last night. 6-3 was the final. That series is now tied at one game apiece. It is a best-of-five series with Game 3 tomorrow night, another 9:30 p.m. Central Time puck drop. Chief.
Hey, you asked the question, we'll get back to our, what we were talking about. Mike, I don't know if you watched the game of the week, which I swore I was not going to do with A-Rod on there, but I did. They're talking about if a team all of a sudden is 1-10, are they going to get half their guys saying, I'm not playing the rest of the way because of the COVID?
Are you saying with professional sports?
Yeah. Our guys is going to bail out because...
Well, the Lorenzo Cain of the Brewers just opted out the other day after he played the first, like, 5 or 6 games. Now, they're not 2-10, but I don't know what changed his mind.
Anybody who thinks it's safer out in society than it is in their little bubble's got to be out of his mind.
I mean, what's interesting to me about that, about trying this experiment of trying to keep everyone in the bubble is, one, A, they weren't... It started out pretty poorly. They weren't able to contain it in the beginning. It feels like they've kind of gotten their hands around it a little bit, and they're doing a better job. But it is interesting that even on this high level, when we're talking about millions and billions at stake, and you know, these players, their salaries, they have a very, very high interest in doing everything right and protecting themselves or not catching the thing. And I think they still have. It's a very challenging thing to pull this off, what they're trying to do so far anyways.
Well, it's a very contagious thing. I mean, everybody, I don't think even the naysayers, Matty accused me of being a pandemic naysayer. I'm not a naysayer in terms of how contagious it is. I mean, I don't think we've ever, other than like maybe measles, I don't know if we've ever seen anything more contagious. But it also, most of these people aren't sick, you know, and that's another issue. But I still want to know, what was the takeout? The guy getting at the strip club, Matty?
Said he got chicken wings.
He got chicken wings.
Lou Williams.
Well, look at all the people who go to Hooters for the chicken wings, right? Is that the, God? Anyway, so Mike, we're looking at a situation where if the inflation, I don't think you've ever had a situation where you favored individual companies. I mean, this Amazon. In the Targets and the Costco, they've been in Chicago. I mean, as you kind of well know, with the quality of leadership we have, you know, the idea that you couldn't buy blue jeans at your store and yet you could go to Costco or you could go to Target and buy them. If I owned a blue jeans store, I don't know how I wouldn't have gone postal. I mean, I mean, that to me is so friggin' ignorant. I can't even go there where you start picking winners to this extent. I mean, we've picked Amazon as a winner. I mean, they still don't pay taxes on half their stuff, do they, or do they? I mean, and yet all their people, we don't care if those thinking people die. I mean, not that they are, but, I mean, we don't care if they get COVID, do they? As long as they drop the box off and we wipe the thing off with our sanitizer, we don't care, right?
I mean, it's necessary employees, yes.
How is it, Mike, who was it, was that Friday, Matty? He said, how is it that all the necessary employees are also the lowest paid?
Ain't that the truth?
Isn't that the truth? I mean, anyway, so how
the
can you...
I mean, not to derail the conversation, but, you know, we go to Tripoli on Mondays with the basketball team, and even though we haven't been playing basketball, we're not going to lose our Mondays, of course.
Right, absolutely.
So we, every week, I mean, and I, you know, I feel like I fight the other side on this show because everyone is so... like nonchalant about COVID, in my opinion, but these guys act like it's the bubonic plague,
yeah.
And that drives me crazy. And like, they're like, we can never go back to school. We can, you know, we can't do this. We can't do that. And I'm like, it's not going to go away. At some point, you just have to wear a mask and face it. And until we get herd immunity and some sort of flu shot, vaccine, you know, booster shot, whatever it's going to be, I mean, are we going to shut down for 5 years? Like, what are we talking about here? But they're all very well paid, working from home. Of course, one guy, his wife's a Chicago public teacher, so she's doing great, working 4 hours a week and getting paid. And man, I'm like, I don't know. I can't have the same argument every week, but I feel like I am.
Manny, because you're starting to look at what things in terms of numbers, and if you always look at the beginning of the.
But these are smart guys. They're looking at the same numbers as me, people, and they're like, "Who cares? We can't go back outside."
If you're getting paid, it's a different world than if you're not. I mean,
but I'm getting paid, and I still see that we can't support people not doing anything for much longer.
Well, but you're getting paid.
And I think that's the biggest problem right there is everyone's looking. Okay, so as it stands right now, the system is functioning. It's working. And it's working because it's almost been forced to work. We threw enough money at this, so the system stays valid and working. But when you look ahead, when you look down the line, there's a lot of roadblocks that we're going to run into. And you're right, Matt. There's no way we can extend simply no economic activity or very, very depressed economic activity for the next 5 years. So at a certain point, we've got to open up this economy. And the idea of shutting it down more is, well, from an economic sense, it's hard to imagine a way out of it.
Well, you also look at, and I've had people, when you listen to the news, you get the idea that the COVID is getting worse and worse because of it's going to different areas of the country. So the idea that we had 800,000 tests on Sunday, I can't even, that's mind-boggling to me. But in New York,
that's a good thing, in my opinion.
Yeah, well, in New York, they had 50,000.
If they're real.
Yeah, they had 50,000 tests. They got a positive rate of 1.5%. So that means 49,000 people went in line that weren't sick. Now, I'm going to say New York.
How do you know they weren't sick? They just didn't have COVID. They probably felt sick and went in line.
I think they were forced to go because.
Or they were forced to go for a different reason.
Or people were just hypochondriacs and don't have nothing better
and
to that's, do.
That could be too.
But
who cares?
What I'm saying is, I mean, so in 5 days they get their results, but now there's 5 days, you don't know what happened. Now what do you do? Back in line again?
We're in complete agreement. Until you get instant results, which may never happen, it's almost useless unless you lock people in a room for 5 days, and which that's not happening. Get this argument I heard last night. Guy tells me, you know, we're talking baseball, and I'm like, okay, you had guys test positive. None of them are sick, but, you know, you don't want them to spreading it to the coaches in their 60s and, you know, families and things like that. So go quarantine them for a week or 2 weeks or whatever long it is and keep playing and bring them back. What's the problem? And then he's like, well, you know, the test, the false positive rate's too high. You don't know if they really have it or don't have it. And I go, okay, is it two tests in a row that you need to see that are negative? Three tests in a row? Five tests in a row? What is it? Well, I don't know what it is, blah, 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 but you can't trust the test. And I say, okay, so you can't trust the test. Then 5 minutes later, oh, I'm getting tested tomorrow.
Yeah.
I thought you just said you can't trust the test. So what's the point? I'm like, what planet am I on?
Well, but even the numbers, Mike, I think it looks to me like, the places that had the problems early, they reached some sort of an immunity, something with the people that aren't going to get in the first place because they had some embedded immunity. I think that everybody in New York was pretty, not that there aren't going to be some few others, same way in Chicago, it's never 100%. But I'm going to say that you can't say, look at the numbers in Illinois, when the first hot spot is pretty much cold as ice. There's a few people in Lincoln Park, but it's pretty much cold as ice, and now we're counting Peoria. Well, 3 months ago, Peoria didn't have anybody, and now they're going through the same thing that's going on in Chicago. Why is that not expected with something that is contagious as this? The good news for the people in Peoria is they're not throwing them on ventilators and killing them like they did here. So the care is much better than it was. Okay, it's still not perfect, and people are dying from it. I get it, but why would somebody not think that an area that didn't have it before isn't going to go through the same thing until there is some sort of a flu shot is here? Nobody. The thing has never been. They make it sound like it's containable. It never was. We got to solve.
It's not containable, but it's also not containable because Well, I don't think we know how contagious it will be the second time around. So if we do get a second wave, and if New York does see cases begin to rise, you know, where does it stop? So, but that being said, hopefully New York stays low. Hopefully it stays ice cold, and then maybe we would be on the other side of this. But I think the idea that there could be a second wave is also, it's weighing down, or at least adding a certain level of uncertainty or fear. And I think we're seeing that kind of transferred into some of the volatility in the market.
As a famous man once said, it reaches a point where the only thing to fear is fear itself. I mean, but I mean, in terms of, let's flip, since you're here and you're probably the best market guy we have. What do you make of, we've had people, I have clients, you just have to keep buying Apple no matter what. Stuff, when one of the most fascinating things in the industry, Mike, and I tell you what, I've not figured it out at my age, so hope you do and you can tell me about it. I still can't figure out the day at which a stock that can do no wrong beyond all, you know, dreams of avarice, all of a sudden the tone changes on it. I mean, I read the history of the railroad companies. NBC was a massive example when TV was first invented. Clearly, eBay was like that. I mean, we've seen all the dot-coms in the 2000. And now, and these stocks get into this thing where people just love them to the point where we're not talking about 20 times earnings. We're talking 20 times sales. I mean, that kind of stuff. And yet, if you short it, you know, you might as well put yourself on the slab and roll it out yourself, right? You just can't do it without, you know, being feet first. And then all of a sudden, someday, out of the blue, it's, they're just another retailer. Screw these guys.
If you look over the past 20 years ago, none of these stocks that we're talking about today were anywhere close to the top 10 in the country, top 5 in the country. You know, we're looking at these, and they're representing a large majority of our indexes, of our stock market is just reflected by these 5 or 6 really, really big underlyings, really, really big stocks, and they are taking up everything. And you're right, the assets are getting pumped into these because where else do you go? You go to Apple because it seems to be the best underlying on the board. But, you know, from the idea of a contrarian sense or the idea of things can't go up forever, we certainly have been moving to the upside, and really, if you go back to the beginning of March, we've seen nothing but a rally in Apple. I'd call it the middle of March. Yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean, at some point, obviously, the guy's got a bunch going with space and all that kind of stuff, and the guy's basically innovative. This Elon Musk, but it's this Elon Musk mystique, and it's at a point where when are they going to be? Hey, there's 5 companies that make electric cars. They're just one of them. And all the rest of the guys are trading 10 times earnings, and these guys are trading, you know, 500 times earnings. But that day always comes. The question is, mm-hmm. is when and what causes it. I always find that fascinating because I never can pick it, to be honest with you.
There's always a cause. And, you know, and sometimes it's the cause that everyone's waiting for. Sometimes it is the thing that's on our radar. But also, a lot of times it's that one thing that no one's looking for, no one can really expect. And then when you do see the shift, we've seen this history play itself out over and over again. Once the stock market turns sour to something, you can see we tend to take the escalator up and the elevator down, or things can fall much faster than they typically move higher, which is why we see fear to the downside and why we see volatility explode to the upside when markets sell off. Everyone gets scared. The idea being most people are long out there when markets turn around, or when underlyings like Apple starts going down. A lot of people are going to get scared. A lot of people are going to be running for the door. And how big is that pipe for everyone to get out of? We've seen over the past decade or so when you have a lot of people fighting to get out in the same underlying, the system we have set up now isn't great for it. We don't have market makers sitting there with orders that are ready to take big movement or take big sell orders. You have algorithms that could easily pull away, and the biggest problem here is lack of liquidity, which could arise.
What, Mike, when you look at something, I would say that if you drilled into somebody's brain and maybe even yours and mine, one of the reasons why we don't think the market is quite as risky as it is in the short run, clearly for people in the know, guys like you and me, and the bumps on CNBC, I think we think in the short run, even if everything starts to cascade, that the Fed will start buying stocks or ETFs or something, because they're buying everything else. And they're doing it in Germany, yeah. And they're doing it in Europe, and they've done it in Japan for years. Now, this is something that's basically against the law, right? It's against their charter. And also, it almost, to me, you and if you're managing your grandpa's money, there's no way that he sends you $1 million and you put it in a 10-year for 0.5%, or God help you, in Europe, you put it in a negative interest, say, Gramps, I got us all.
Right.
I got you.
So, yeah, don't worry, Grandpa.
Yeah, don't, not to worry. And by the way, I'm charging you a fee for you to pay a fee for your money. That would go over well, I think, in the household. how can the system be built on really what is a totally ignorant trade? That people who have capital get no return on it at all, when that's what you're supposed to be able to get. If you
right, well, and that's just it. So it's a system based on appreciation of assets. Even if the appreciation is simply, we're inflating the notional value, but we aren't actually, Apple's going up because there's more money in the system. You can make the argument. Now, perhaps Apple's going up also because it's producing really good products and it's getting sold really well, but there's also another element here of it. It's the price itself is being driven by the pure speculation or the lack of other reasonable underlyings to find equivalent returns in.
I'm going to lob this one out at you, Mike, and I can't put a value on it, but I would say the one thing about Apple that I can't even imagine happening is, with all the crap that's going on between us and China, and these guys are so far up the ass of the Chinese government, I can't even. This guy has been a master at playing the buffoons in office on both sides of the Pacific as being somehow in the middle. They're like the net on the ping pong table and never gets hit with the ball coming back and forth. And they're right in the middle. How are they thinking that Trump's going to put Samsung out of business because he doesn't like them, and he's going to give all the phone business to Apple? These guys, if you would ever have thought that we would be waging, really, the guy's going to be in office 4 years, a 4-year battle against China, would you ever have thought that the two stocks to buy would have been like Nike and Apple?
It wouldn't have crossed my mind to go into there. But, 5 years ago when we were looking at Nike, we were looking at Apple, we were looking at these big names, they had already appreciated pretty massively 5 years ago.
Right.
And the idea that we'd see, the continuation, it was there, but it's simply, we're several standard deviations away from where, where this market was anticipated based on option values to move. So we have moved significantly more than was expected, I think, on a year-to-year basis.
Like, I'm selling calls. There used to be weeklies, right? I'm selling calls out for people in a week in some of these indexes, and I'm giving myself like 7% in a week, and still I'm worrying if I'm too close, how many, the statistics? Would you go a year and a half or two when we didn't have a 1% move in a day?
When we're talking options, it's going back to your idea of short term. I don't want to expose myself anywhere more than, call it, 60 days out in the options that I'm trading. Anything more than that, you're not getting paid for time as much. And what I mean by that is, if you're selling calls, as Tom, you're getting paid. Part of what you're getting paid for is just the loss of time. So we call it theta decay. So as time moves on, as you get closer and closer to expiration, you get paid. Every day you're short that option, you get paid a little bit to be short. And basically, that's kind of what we look for with time. But when you go out really far, the difference of a day doesn't make a big difference. But when you start getting closer to like 60 days, 45 days, the difference of one day can make a bigger percentage-wise difference. So you actually get paid a little bit more to be shorted. So right now we're looking at shorter time frames. We're not going that far out.
Well, it used to be, I mean, we got it almost like, I'm forgetting this, that the big component of an option going out was the interest. And now there's none of that.
There is none.
I mean, if you, when interest were 12% and you sold a call in IBM out 4 months, or 6 months, as far out as we went. Actually, I think we might have gone 9 even in those days, but you were selling that thing for a big whopping number, but most of that was interest. You owned the stock free and clear. If somebody else wanted, didn't want to pay for that. Because the brokerage rates were like 12. You don't even imagine what that would be like to carry to Mike, thank you very much. As usual, terrific. Love the conversation. I always learn when you're here, buddy. SP Futures down 14. NASDAQ Futures down 42. Be back tomorrow. Stocks and Jacks.
What did we learn, Palmer?
I don't know, sir.
I don't f***ing know either. I guess we learned not to do it again.
Stocks and Jocks is brought to you by PTI Securities and Futures. Go to PTISecurities.com. PTI ProDirect. Trade for as low as a penny per share and a dollar per option contract. Learn more at PTIProDirect.com. Nadex. Offering an intuitive way to trade the financial markets. Visit Nadex.com. HomeSource Realty. Call Audrey Johnson at 708-349-3456. Hamzy Analytics. Listen to Fari Hamzy every other Thursday and visit HamzyAnalytics.com. ChiroMed. Back or neck pain? Schedule a complimentary consultation by calling 708-403-2727. DAX Research. Tune in for David Andelman's technical analysis on Mondays and Thursdays and call 1-800-821-4968.